Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you personally for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We will also invite you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We'd also invite you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We encourage you to come and study and worship God with us, and we want you to know that you will always be warmly received, and we cordially invite you to any or all of our services. We are studying an overview of the Bible, and we are in the book of Hebrews. Today we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 7. We probably will just stay in this chapter today because it is one of the more difficult chapters of Hebrews, but it has a very powerful message. We want to do two things. We want to read the first few verses, and then we're going to go back and read the Old Testament account of what these verses are talking about. Again, the book of Hebrews is written to show the superiority of the law, of the covenant of Christ, of the better covenant, the better promises, and the better high priest. And so those arguments are being made by comparing to the old covenant and the law and the priesthood under that covenant. Now we begin in verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning nor days nor end of life, but made like a son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they had come from the loins of Abraham. But to he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who has the promises. Now beyond contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Now, what this has reference to is a situation that we see after the slaughter of kings in Genesis chapter 14. And I want to read Genesis 14, verses number 18 through 24. It says, Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only that which the young man have eaten, and the portion of the man who went with me, Abner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Now, this brief account is what is referred to in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 7. When it says he was translated King of Righteousness and also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. So he's making a correlation to the king and the high priest of Melchizedek under the patriarchal age when he gave and received tithes from Abraham after the victory of the slaughter of the kings. Now verse 3 says, Without father, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but like the Son of God remains a priest continually. Now what that simply means is the Bible does not reveal the genealogy of Melchizedek. And so in essence, since we don't have the genealogy of Melchizedek, we don't know when his high priest began or when it ended. Now, we know that it had to end in some point because he physically died. But the point is that he is used as a comparison to the Son of God, who has no beginning and end because he's God, and he remains a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's not like the priest of the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, because they lived and died and were replaced. But he's like Melchizedek in that we don't know his genealogy, so he had, in essence, no beginning or ending, and we know God's Son has no beginning or ending. And then it says, nor beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Now, the lesser in this case, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Now, in this case, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, but we know that Abraham played a very significant role in leading God's people and the promises that were made to him in Genesis chapter 3. Now, excuse me, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now listen as the argument continues. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them on whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now tithing was something that was under the old law, under the old covenant, and they were received by the Levites. That was one of the ways that they were paid, since they were continually in service in the work in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And that's one of the ways they would be able to sustain their lives and their families, by the tithes and the offerings that part of them belonged to the Levites. And it says, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek kept him. You see, when Abraham met Melchizedek, the Levitical priesthood had not even been established yet. They were in his loins. That just simply means that it was in the future descendancy of Abraham, that the tribe of Levi, Moses and Aaron, and the Levitical priesthood under Aaron, that was a descendant through Abraham. Okay? Now, what's the point? Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there be of another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Now, his argument is, if perfection could have been made through the priesthood of Melchizedek, which it could not, because the Levitical priesthood followed that, and if the Levitical priesthood could offer perfection and completeness and give to men what they needed, then why would we need another? Why would we need another one after the order of Aaron? If Aaron's could not complete it, why would we need another priest like the priesthood of Aaron? Well, we wouldn't, because no one kept that law perfectly. Again, what's his point? Verse 12. For if the priesthood being changed, of necessity there also is a change of the law. You see his point? We're no longer under the law because we have a different priest. Under the law of Moses, Jesus could never be a priest or could never be high priest because he wasn't of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. And so if he is our high priest, that necessitates not only that we have a new high priest, we have a new law, because he could not have been a priest under the Aaronic priesthood because he was of the wrong tribe. And so not only is he our high priest, but he has a new covenant, a new law, because that law has been set aside. For he whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord rose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Jesus could not have officiated while on earth in the capacity of a priest in the temple That was forbidden. Why? He wasn't of the order of Aaron. He was not a Levitical priest. But if he is our high priest today, then we have a different law. We have a law that is rendered under Christ. Now, it says in verse 15, and yet it is far more evident in the likeness of Melchizedek, there rises another priest. You see, the reason that Christ rises from the likeness of Melchizedek is because he had no beginning or ending. We don't know when he began. We don't know when he ended. And so, in essence, he has no beginning and ending that we can substantiate. Well, the Son of God has no beginning and ending too, because he's a priest forever. He's a priest to the end of time. He's our high priest, and he will never abdicate that position. And so he's not like the Aaronic priest. and the Levitical priesthood, who died and had to be replaced, he is an eternal priest and has come not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Again, because he's deity. For he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Again, this has reference to Psalm 110, verse 4. For on one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of his weakness and unprofitableness. Now, he's talking about the old law. It could not remedy sin. It could not make man complete. It could not give him remission of sin. And so that law was annulled. And so the priesthood couldn't have come from that law because that law has been annulled. For the law made nothing perfect. Why? Because men couldn't keep it. And on the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw nearer to God. And insomuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He was priest by an oath, the oath of his father. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Therefore, and also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Again, he makes reference to the Old Testament. They could not continue in their priesthood because of death. This is not going to be so in the priesthood of Christ. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The priesthood of Christ is unchangeable. He will always be in that position. He will never abdicate it until the end of time. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. When we pray to the Father, we pray through Christ. That's how we have access to the Father. Remember the words of Jesus, no man cometh to the Father except through me. And then we read, for with such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily to those high priests did to offer sacrifices, first for his own sin and then for the people and for the people's sin, for he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son who has been perfected forever. What's his point? His point is that the high priest that we have is higher, he's holier. Why? Because he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, he has become higher than the heavens. He has no need to go in daily and offer a burnt offering and a sin offering for his sin because he has no sin. And he doesn't need to do it on behalf of the people because he did that once and for all when he died upon the cross. When he offered himself upon the cross, it was one death for all time. According to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he destroyed the bondage of sin. And 1 John 3, verse 8 says he destroyed the works of the devil. And so we have a more perfect priesthood. Why? Because we have a greater high priest. Why? Because he is after the order of Melchizedek. It's endless. He never ends. And the only access that men have to the Father is through the Son. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is our mediator, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And so that makes him a greater high priest. But he could not have been a priest under the Levitical system because he was of the wrong tribe, not Levi, but Judah. Again, the argument is being made that this covenant is better because it has a greater high priest, and that priest is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.